Limits to generosity. What we're looking at is the limits of generosity and meanness. So if I have a pencil lying on the table and I'm not here and you need to write something down, you're probably entitled to assume that I wouldn't mind you using my pencil to make to jot a note. It would be mean if I had a problem with that. But if I have a very expensive fountain pen, a real collector's piece, and it's on the table, and you want to write down, you want to jot down a note, it's reasonable to think I might not be so happy about that, because it's a delicate instrument, and you might damage it. So one would understand those limits to generosity. I'm generous with my pencil, but with my very expensive fountain pen, maybe not so much. But one can cause damage to an object not only by misusing it and damaging it physically, one can cause damage to an object spiritually as well. What happens if, and on the contrary, one can do good things to an object spiritually. So for example, if you want to use my fountain pen without my permission to write down your Chidushei Torah, you've just had an amazing insight on a piece of Gemara and you're going to publish it in your Sefer, which is going to be read by thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, and you want to use my fountain pen to write down your thoughts, then maybe that's a tremendous honor, and I would say, so what? So let's say you damage the fountain pen, so I have to replace it. So it'll cost me a couple of $100 if it's really a very, very special piece. Okay, but look what you've done. You've written a piece of Torah that the whole world is going to see with my fountain pen. Can you assume that under those circumstances, I wouldn't mind you using the fountain pen either? Because you're using it for some good reason. But that can happen negatively as well. What happens if you're going to use my pencil, never mind the fountain pen, just the ordinary pencil, which I normally wouldn't mind at all, but you're writing down Lashon Hara, you're writing down, you're finishing off your novel, which is full of bad language and ugly scenes, and you're using my pencil to write that down. If we say, I would be honored if you used my pen to write your Chidushei Torah, surely I would object to you using my pencil to do something which is spiritually negative. Could that harm the pencil in a spiritual way? Because as Jews, that's how we think. We don't just look at the world physically. We see the spiritual forces of the world as in as realistic a way, in as real a way as we see the physical forces of the world. So the possibility that you could damage my pencil spiritually is very real to a Jew. Let's understand that. Now, of course, when I'm going into the sugya, I didn't start with that issue. I didn't open the Gemara and say, I wonder what the story is about using a pencil to write bad stuff or using an expensive pen to write wonderful insights of Torah. I wonder what the Gemara says. That's not where I start. So to give you an idea of the process, I start just reading the Gemara like everybody does. On Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara brings a brighter, HaShoel Sefer Torah Michavero, HaRezo Lo Yishalenu Lacher. If I borrow a Sefer Torah, I borrow a Torah scroll from my friend, I'm having a minion at my house, and you lend me your Sefer Torah. Meanwhile, somebody else comes and says, my neighbor says, I'm also having a minion at my house after you finished yours. Can I move the Sefer Torah to my house and we can use it for our minion as well? You're not allowed to do that. Says the Gemara, my Sefer Torah. Why do you have to talk about a Sefer Torah? Afilu kol mili nami. There's a general principle. D'omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Kan shono Rebbe, Eken shono Rebbe, En hashoel rashay lahashil, Ve'en hasocher rashay lahaskir. A borrower is not allowed to lend the object he borrowed, and a renter is not allowed to rent. You can't sub-rent the car that you rented from me. You can't lend the car to somebody else if you borrowed it from me. It's specifically for your use. So this has nothing to do with the Sefer Torah. This is a general law of borrowing. Says the Gemara, Sefer Torah Tzrichale. No, the Sefer Torah case is specific. Mahu detema, I might have thought, Michaleli inish dete avid mitzvah b'mamone. Why would you object? Your Sefer Torah, you lent me the Sefer Torah to do a good thing once. A minion of people, a group of people are going to hear the Sefer Torah being read in public. It's your Sefer Torah. Surely you're thrilled with that. And now, you know what? I'm lending it to my neighbor and two minionim are going to hear. Surely that's even better. I might have thought that the spiritual benefit that comes to you outweighs the fact that technically that's not what you lent it to me for. Kamash Malan, you see from this? No, we don't say that. That's the Gemara. So even in such a case, you have to stick to the principle that you can't lend it to somebody else. You borrowed it, it stays with you. Even a Sefer Torah, even something with which you're going to use for very positive use, still you can't do that. So that's where we start. What troubles me as I learn this Gemara is that it seems to go against a Gemara that we learned in Psachim. What was the Gemara in Psachim? There we're talking about a case where I rent a house from you just before Pesach. My assumption is you've done Bedikat Chametz. You've checked it out and it's already cleaned out. There's no Chametz in the house. It's one of these houses that now you get it on Airbnb and all sorts of places you can have ready for Pesach. So I assume it's ready for Pesach. I get there and I discover, whoops, there was no Bedikat Chametz. Now I get all upset and I want to cancel the deal. Says the Gemara, you can't. Not even in a place where people do their own bedikas chometz, there isn't a service to do it for you. You have to do your own bedikas chometz. Even there, it's okay, so I'm going to do bedikas chometz. That's not a disappointment for me. It means it's an extra mitzvah. It's true, the deal was I would come and the house would be cleaned up and bedikas chometz done. That wasn't the case. I want to get out of the deal now. Why would I do that? I've got a chance to do bedikas chometz. I've got a chance for a mitzvah. So why do I want to get out of the deal? So Rashi says there, because clearly I found a better house, a cheaper house, and I'm using this to get out of the deal. We'll have nothing of it. We assume you wouldn't mind doing Bedikas Chometz. Had you known in the beginning that you would have to do Bedikas Chometz, you would have to check for the Chometz before Pesach, you would still have done the deal because it's a mitzvah. But El Afidu Batra Diyavigru Avodku, even where you have to rent a service to do Bedikas Chometz, you still can't back out of the deal. Denicha Leili Inish Likiyume Mitzvah B'mamena. Because people like mitzvahs to be done with their money. So it's going to. I was going to spend $5,000 for the week of Pesach. And now I've got to spend another $500 on Bedikas Chometz. And so I want to get out of the deal. No, says the Gemara. You're spending $500 on a mitzvah. You spend $5,000 just on the comfort of a nice house on the beach. And for an extra $500, you're getting the mitzvah of Bedikas Chometz. Why wouldn't you do that? Clearly you would do that. People like to do money or mitzvahs with their money. So it seems to be on the surface that in Psochem we say we do hold by the principle of nichaleili inshili kiyume mitzvah b'mamoino. It is in people's interests to have a mitzvah done with their belongings. And in our Gemara we're saying, no, the Sefer Torah can't be lent to the other minyan because you can't assume that somebody wants another mitzvah to be done with his property. What's the difference between these two cases? So as I thought about it, the first place I went to in my mind is, no, they're completely different. In the first case, in our case, in the Gemara, what is the Torah? It's your Sefer Torah, and I'm doing the mitzvah. You know, that's how you were thinking, Senda, right. It's yours. So you're not happy that I use your Sefer Torah, that I use your beautiful, expensive pen to write my Chidushei Torah. That you're not interested in. In Psochim, it's different. In Psochim, who's the person, whose money is it? The person is doing the mitzvah. All we're saying is it's in a person's interest to do a mitzvah with his own money. But you can't say it's in a person's interest to have somebody else do a mitzvah with their money. That would seem to be the difference. So now I'm settled. It's easy. I understand the difference between the Gemara in Bava Metzi and the Gemara in Psochim. The difficulty with that is, as I think about it, is, so what would a nafkamina be? Let's extrapolate that further. If I walk into shul and I forgot my tefillin at home, and I see there's a pair of tefillin, Joey's tefillin are on the table. He's coming to a later minyan. And people say to me, Joey wouldn't mind, use your tefillin. He'll be happy that another mitzvah is done with the tefillin. Am I allowed to do that or not? This is now my mitzvah with Joey's tefillin. I'm not a, why would I be allowed to do that? According to what we've just said, no. Nichalele inish lemevit mitzvah b'mamoina means me doing a mitzvah with my own money. But you can't use this to say that now I'm Joey's going to be happy that I'm doing my mitzvah with his money. We've just said that's not okay. But the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is that you're allowed to use the tefillin. You're allowed to assume that Joey wouldn't mind. So now I have a problem. The way I've resolved the contradiction between the two Gemaras is against the Shulchan Aruch. That's where my preparation for the Matmonim starts. I'm taking you through a bit of the process. It starts with our Gemara. So it seems to be against the Gemara in Psochim. I resolve the difficulty, but that leaves me with a problem with halacha l'maaseh. It leaves me with a problem in the Shulchan Aruch, with a problem in Jewish law. So after a lot of research, I find the Sefer HaPardes by Rabbeinu Asher ben Reb Chaim. We don't know a lot about Rabbeinu Asher ben Reb Chaim. He's 14th century Spain, And we know that he's a Talmud of the Rashba, so we know where he comes from and what his pedigree is. And he wrote the Sefer HaParadeis on Hilchos Brachos, on the laws of Brachot. And he quotes the Baal HaMaor, we've now had several times in the last week or two. And the Baal HaMaor says, you can borrow somebody's lulav without their permission. And you can make a bracha on it. Because people want their belongings to be used for mitzvah purposes. That's what the Baal HaMaor says. The Rabbeinu Asher attacks the Baal HaMaor. It says it's his Rebbe already. He says, my Rebbe already had problems with this. And he comes to the end and he says, and what about this Gemara in Eilim Metzius, our Gemara? And he says, Mashma shehu atzmo asa mitzvah, aval sheyaseh acher bishvilo b'shelo lo amro. So I found, Baruch Hashem, that the Sefer HaParadeis, the Rabbeinu Asher ben Chaim, answers this contradiction the same way that I wanted to answer it. That you want to do a mitzvah with your money, but you don't want somebody else to do a mitzvah with your belongings. That's not something that you can just assume. And that's how he also resolves the difficulty between these two gemaras. So now I'm relaxed, but we still have a problem with the Shulchan Aruch. The fact is then, why can't I use your tefillin? So let's go to the halacha, and we find in the Tur in Hilchos Tzitzis and Simen Yudalit, v'litol talit chavero belo da'ato levarech aleha. What's the situation about coming into shul and using somebody else's talis and making a bracha on it? Yeshu mimshuhu mutar, says the Tur. Some say it's permitted. And again, he gives this principle because people are comfortable that it's in their interest for a mitzvah to be done with their money. Again, this goes against the way we've resolved the two Gemaras. Here we see that it's even somebody else to do their mitzvah with my belongings is something that I'm interested in. The Darkei Moshe is a perush on the Tur, which is written by the Ramo. The Ramo, you'll remember, writes his notes on the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the basis of Ashkenazi halakha. The Beis Yosef is the basis, the Shulchan Aruch itself is the basis of Sfardi halakha. And before the Ramo wrote his notes on the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote the Darkei Moshe on the Tur, just as the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, wrote the Beis Yosef before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He brings the Nimuki Yosef, who brings in the name of the Ritva, Niresh Asula Adam Laneach Tfilin Shel Chavero Litzatef Betalito Shelo Midato. He says, it seems to be that you're not allowed to use somebody else's tefillin. Aval Moiri Omer Debedvar Mitzvah Shani Denichel Elish Nemevad Mitzvah B'Mamoneh Adkan Loshon HaRitvo. But the Nemuchi Yosef, bringing the Ritvo, says, however, I say that you can use somebody else's talus or tefillin for the same reason that the Baal HaMaor says, because people are happy for a mitzvah to be done with their belongings. So that's what the Darkei Moshe brings. Then he says, V'Timiyani HaPsak Zeh, I, the Nemuchi Yosef, am astonished at this psak of the Ritvo. Because we've said in our Gemara, in Eilu Metzius, in Shbova Metzia, Matzat Filin Sham Demayim Menichen Alma De Belavachi Also Lanichim Velo Yitiru Mishu Mitzvah. We see in our Gemara, you're not allowed to use somebody else's tefillin for the purposes of mitzvah or to use a Sefer Torah. V'gabi Sefer Torah Nami Omru. And also with the Sefer Torah, we said, Eina Shoel Rashai Lashil. V'ilu Ayala Rabbeinu Shum Rai. If there was a way that I could resolve this, I would resolve it. But says the Nemuchi Yosef, I don't see how you can put on somebody else's tefillin. Because we see from our Gemara that you can't. You see in Bava Metzia, that you see in Psochim that you can, that people want mitzvahs to be done. That's only you doing your own mitzvah with your money. But to do a mitzvah with somebody else's money without their permission, that we don't see there's any basis for that. So that's how the Nemuchi Yosef paskens. And then the Ramoim says, Uchadeli Yashev Divrei Aposkim, but you can't leave this hanging. After all, it's the Ritvo. There are some important people who've paskened that way. Vamidek Omer de Lord Dami L'Sefer Torah K'moshu Katav Tilel. I don't think this is like a Sefer. There's the chance of it getting torn. There's wear and tear. So if it's just putting on tefillin, that's okay. But a Sefer Torah, you're rolling it backwards and forwards. That I don't want people using my Sefer Torah without my permission, even if it's for a mitzvah. So the Mechaber introduces a new element and says, yes, I'm comfortable with somebody doing a mitzvah with my belongings, even if it's their mitzvah, not my mitzvah. However, that's where there's no risk of damage, where there's no risk of wear and tear, and there won't be damage to it. And that's, in fact, how the Shulchan Aruch paskens on the next page. Mutal litol talit chaviro levarech alev uvad sheyeh kapel otai metza'am ukupelet. Make sure you fold the talis and leave it as you found it. There we have a makor in halacha, that if you use something of somebody else's, leave it as you found it. Put it back. If you take a cup out of the kitchen to have coffee with, don't leave it on your table. Take it back to where you found it, or throw it away. Just leave the place as you found it. Leave things as you find them. V'hu Adin says the Ramo. Now the Ramo, based on his own Darkei Moshe, says the same as with Tfilin. Aval asur lilmod misvarim shel chaviro b'lo da'ato. You can't use a sefer. If there's a sefer lying on the table, if there's a book lying on the table, that's like a sefer Torah. D'chashim and shema yikarei otam b'lim budo. There's wear and tear. I'm afraid as you're turning the pages, you could tear a page. So you can't assume that somebody else doesn't mind you're using his Gemara because his Gemara is on the table, unless he's given you specific permission. That's how it works out. But then there's an amazing Ben Ish Chai. We've talked about the Ben Ish Chai before, Iraq. He was the Rav of Baghdad, and Adam Kodesh, a very holy and wonderful posek. It was a posek for all the Jews of that part of the world. And he wrote a Sefer Halacha on the Parshias. And in Parshias Lech Lecha, he writes, "Bizman azeh chazin and rubed al mekapti shelo yibushu achirim tzitzit tefillin shalem." We see nowadays people are quite fussy about others wearing their talis and tefillin, and they don't like that to be the case. So you can't assume that it's okay, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you may, says the Ben Ish Chai, nowadays you shouldn't. So if the Shamas offers you a tzitzis, a talis or tefillin that belongs to somebody else, don't take it, don't use it. Shalom midat balim, without their permission, unless you know for sure they don't mind. And not everybody has the same view. Everybody has different sensitivities. Hallo gam anochi makir b'atzmi. I know for myself, writes the Ben Ish Chai, this great tzaddik. I don't want people using my tefillin and my tzitzis. I'm one of those people. And there are many different reasons. That's all he writes. One of the reasons given to explain the Ben Ish Chai is not just that it's expensive, it can be damaged. There's another reason that explains the Ben Ish Chai. To understand the reason, I'll tell you a story that happened to me in Yerushalayim 20 years ago when I wanted to buy tefillin for my son for his bar mitzvah. So we went around looking. Eventually, I took him to the place where I bought my tefillin. In Meir Shorim, Alter Yid, an old Jew with a little rundown shop. And I had done, and my father had done, and later, and I did research. This was the place to get tefillin from. Walk in, and the little old man is sitting behind among the sforim in his store, and he doesn't even look up when we walk in. Now, you know, we weren't dressed as Yerushalmi Jews. We were on vacation from California, so he saw we weren't from Meir Shorim. He didn't even look up. So I coughed, and nothing made a difference. So I called him, and he made it clear he's busy learning. He doesn't want to speak to me. But the door of the shop is open. He didn't say he's closed. So I said, "I bought tefillin from you a long time ago." And he looks at me like, "How could I have done that? How is that possible?" So eventually I engage him in conversation. I say, "And I would like to buy tefillin for my son." He says, "No." I said, "What do you mean, no?" He said, "I'm not selling you tefillin for your son." I said, "You don't have tefillin?" He said, "Sure, I've got tefillin. I'm not selling for your son." I said, "But you sold to me." He said, "Yeah." I made a mistake. I'm not going to do it again. So instead of being offended, I'm intrigued. What is this all about? I said, what's going on? What is the problem? Eventually, he gets talking and he says, "You just told me you come from California. I don't want my tefillin in California. Who knows what your son is going to be saying while he's wearing the tefillin? Who knows what he might read while he's wearing the tefillin? Who knows what he might think while he's wearing my tefillin? I don't want my tefillin in California. If you're living here in Meir Shorim, you can have tefillin. But if you're living in Los Angeles, I don't want to sell you the tefillin." Anyway, though, we go on and on and talking. Eventually, he makes my son make a shvua, make an oath, that when he's wearing the tefillin, he will never say dvorim batalim, he will never say anything that isn't davening or Torah, and he won't think any bad thoughts. Until this day, 20 years later, my son is very makbid not to talk when he's wearing those tefillin. That's what the Ben Ish Chai is worried about. I don't want somebody picking up my tefillin. I don't know who it is. If I'm going to lend my tefillin to somebody, not only do I want to know they won't be damaged, I want to know who the person is. What's in this person's head around which he's put my tefillin? I'm entitled to know that, because that also damages an object. Just as the Ramo says in the Darkei Moshe that a person can be worried that a Sefer Torah, or as he paskens in Shulchan Aruch, even regulars for him, can be damaged by usage, and he's fully entitled to say, "I don't want anybody using my Gemara without my permission." So that's not mean, that's quite normal, but it goes further than that. I don't want somebody using my Gemara or my tefillin or my talis because I don't know what's in their head when they're learning the Gemara. When they're turning I don't want my objects of Kedusha contaminated by the thoughts of somebody who might not be up to using them the way I would want them to be used. That's how important spiritual energy is. Just as we can uplift an object by using it for mitzvah, and the Gemara discusses, is somebody willing to take the risk of you using their belongings if it's for a Dvar Mitzvah? And we've had all the discussion backwards and forwards in the Gemara in Psochim and our Gemara in Bava Metzia. But even when it comes to spiritual damage, I'm entitled to be concerned, as the Ben Ish Chai says, that I'm not worried about the physical damage you can cause to my tefillin or my Gemara or whatever it is. I'm worried about the spiritual damage that you can cause to it. And therefore, we cannot, even though the Shulchan Aruch says we can, the Ben Ish Chai paskens today, one should be careful and not use anything of somebody else's without their permission, even if it's Lidvar Mitzvah, even if you're going to do wonderful things with it.